my privilege to turn the rest of the service over to Sean Janung. He'll introduce his wife and his son, I'm sure. If he don't, I will take him to task later on. Brother Sean, God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, he's not a stranger. He started out his ministerial life in this church with me, so he's just coming back home for a little while.
Well, thank you. It is truly a privilege to be here today and to be able to share with you what God has been doing in our lives. And I do want to put an emphasis on that. If you were here in Sunday school and you saw all the pictures of the places where we've worked, it's not about my hands and what we've done. It's about God and what He has done through us and how He's used us. And I want to make sure that the emphasis is put there where it belongs, to give Him the glory for what He's doing. My wife, Valerie, and my son, Josiah, are here with me today. And praise the Lord for them. And our other two children, Joanna and Joshua, are at Faith Baptist Bible College, starting off a week of spring break following their midterms, so they're rejoicing in that. So thank you for praying for them. Our display is over there, prayer cards, other literature there. Help yourself to those things which are there for you to take. The tools, they need to stay there. They're just conversation pieces, things that some of them were my grandfather's, but some things there that of interest. But help yourself to the literature there that's for you. 2 weeks ago today, I celebrated my 25th birthday. Yeah. That's hard to believe, right? Because I'm definitely more than 25 years old. Well, I'm talking about my spiritual birthday, the day that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I praise the Lord for that day. I praise the Lord for the pastor who led me to the Lord and for what God has done in and through my life since then. And as I ponder that, there's been many times in that walk that God has taught me many things. And lately, He's been working on me in another area that by no means do I consider myself seasoned in. But it's what He's been challenging me with, and I want to share with you this morning concerning the matter of prayer. I appreciate Pastor and his sharing the prayer requests and praying for those who are in need and things that we need to be involved in upholding one another in prayer. But the Lord's been challenging me lately concerning this, and I want to share some things that God has brought across my path. You know who D.L. Moody is? Very well known. He's a famous preacher. In one of his biographies, it was said of him that he was a better prayer than he was a preacher. He knew the value of prayer. He said every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. That as things are bathed in prayer, God moves. Another man, Edwin Harvey, said concerning prayer, but prayer is our real work. We so often think of prayer as a prefix or a suffix to an otherwise busy round. But God's works are wrought as we pray and while we pray. I read that and I thought, you know, as I go through my day, I start my day with prayer. I often end my day with prayer. How much do I pray during the day? You ever have God bring to your mind someone as you're walking through your day? Do you wonder why? I used to. But then I realized God's bringing those people to my mind for a purpose. I don't know what's going on in their lives. but to take time to pray for them as he brings them to my mind. John Wesley said, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. Prayer is important. Charles Trumbull said, prayer is releasing the energies of God, for prayer is asking God to do what we cannot do. I'm learning more and more. There are many things I cannot do, but God can, and God will, according to His will and according to His time. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's the difference between our relationship and many other religions, is that we serve a living God who hears our prayers, who is interested in what's going on in our daily lives, who cares about the minute details of our lives. And He wants to bless us as we seek Him in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Pardon me as I find verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm realizing more and more as I walk with the Lord that it's not about me, it's about Him. It's not about what I can do, it's about what He can do and what He will do in and through those who give themselves to Him to be used of Him. He is our sufficiency. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. I was even reminded of that this morning as I was awakened by the telephone. I didn't get to the telephone in time to answer it. And the caller ID didn't work, so I didn't know where the phone call came from. And knowing in the back of my mind that my dad just came home from the hospital Friday, I wondered. Unfortunately, it wasn't too long. The phone rang again, and I answered it, and sure enough, my dad's lifeline had been activated. So here I am, needing to get up and get ready to head here, and something going on at my dad's. And got there, and he had not made it to the chair and was laying on the floor. And the ambulance got there, and everything was fine, and we got him in his chair, and he wasn't hurt. It was a minor thing. But in the midst of all that, I'm thinking, I don't have time for this, but I have to. And praise the Lord, everything was fine. And God was in control of all things. He is sufficient. We are not. John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. It's only through him that we can accomplish anything that will last forever for His honor and for His glory. It's only through Him. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As we rely upon the Lord for strength, He will strengthen us for the work that He's called us to. There have been times along the road, and I'm sure this is not news to anyone, but there's times along the road that have been rough road. But God has seen us through those things as we have relied upon Him for strength. But relying upon Him means going to Him with the things from our lives, praying to Him, asking Him for direction in our lives. I want to take you to a passage. There's many places we could go to see a model of prayer. But I want to take you to Nehemiah chapter 1, if you'd turn there with me. And let's take a look at Nehemiah as a picture of prayer. Beginning in Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You for Nehemiah and for his heart for You. I ask, Lord, that as Your Word is read, as it goes forth, that it would have its way in each of our hearts. That, Lord, we would consider our prayer life and the time that we spend with You. And that, Lord, how important it is in each of our lives. So I just ask for Your guidance and Your direction through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. First, look at the posture of Nehemiah as he heard this news of those that were the remnant that was left in captivity. We see that he sat down. He took time to be quiet before the Lord. He sat down. He wept. He mourned. And he fasted and he prayed. As we consider what he did in our own lives, what is our response when someone comes across our mind or we hear of a need that someone has? How do we respond? Maybe it's not exactly as Nehemiah did. Obviously, his heart was broken over the situation there, and there are times when our hearts are broken by news that we receive. And yet, how do we respond? Do we go directly to the Lord? Do we prepare ourselves to go before the Lord? As I look further in this passage, we'll see some things as he went before the Lord, how he presented himself, how his thoughts were established. If we go on into verse 5, it says, And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. We see that Nehemiah began, first of all, with what I would call a review of God's character, who God was. He says, the great and the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him. He reviewed who God was to him. As we think of the fact that God is omnipotent, that He's omnipresent, He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, and He's everywhere present. Those things that our God is, as we think of going before Him with the requests and the thoughts that are on our lives, what does that do to us? It takes our focus, the focus off ourselves, and it brings our focus on God Himself, off our circumstances and onto who He is. And that's where Nehemiah started. Secondly, if we look in verse 6, we see that it involves a request to be heard. He said, "Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant." He asked God to hear him. It shows an awareness of who he was praying to, that was a concern on his heart, that God would... It wasn't that he doubted that God would hear him. He knew God would hear him. We know God hears us. But it's the fact that we are aware of who we are going before and that He would respond to us. And then continuing in verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, "Which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set thy name." It involves, thirdly, repentance. Repentance for sin, both personal and national, is what Nehemiah is pictured here, what he was doing. He was praying for the sins of Israel and confessing those things. He says, "Both I and my father's house have sinned." Taking personal responsibility for those sins, asking for forgiveness. In a sense, wiping the slate clean, coming clean before the Lord. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He was revived from the inside out. He was cleansed that he could go before the Lord and make these requests. And then part of what I read, verses 8 through 10, were a reminder of God's promises to those people to draw close to Him, that if they rebelled, He would scatter them. If they obeyed, He would gather them together. So fourthly, he was reminder of God's promises to him. And there's many promises that we can take hold of in our lives that draw us close to God. But then lastly, in verse 11, it says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." It includes a request for God's blessing, that the good hand of God would be upon him as he went before the king, that God would grant him mercy as he went before the king, the challenge that was before Nehemiah. So as we look at Nehemiah and we see these steps that he went through, and I found it challenging in my own life to consider these things concerning prayer. And partly because I realize that the work we do day by day depends on the prayers of God's people. as we walk day by day serving Him on the mission field. But it's not just for us, it's for each of us. If we did a study through the Bible, and I'm sure Pastor probably has done this, a prayer on one another's of the Bible, the phrases one another's, things that we are supposed to be doing for one another, we find that prayer is one of those. Praying for one another, upholding one another, that we can stand strong doing the will of God. I know that we need you praying for us on the mission field. That's why we have prayer cards. Yes, there's been jokes about taking our prayer cards and putting it in the corner to keep the mice away, or using it for a dartboard. And, you know, I laugh right along with them. But the real reason is that you would see that card and remember us and pray for us. I want to read a quote. It's a rather lengthy one from a man by the name of Guthrie. It says, "The direct power of prayer is, in a sense, omnipotent. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. It secures for the believer the resources of divinity. What battles has it not fought? What victories has it not won? What burdens has it not carried? What wounds has it not healed? What griefs has it not assuaged? It is the wealth of poverty, the refuge of affliction, the strength of weakness, the light of darkness. It is the oratory that gives power to the pulpit. It is the hand that strikes down Satan and breaks the fetters of sin. It turns the scales of fate more than the edge of the sword, the craft of the statesman, or the weight of scepters. It has arrested the wings of time, turned aside the very scythe of death, and discharged heaven's frowning and darkest cloud in the shower of blessings." There is power in prayer. Will you make a commitment to pray? Will I? Will you commit to praying for us as we serve on the mission field? Because that's what's going to keep us going. Yes, I shared our support level, and yes, it's not right where it ought to be. We're lacking some. But you know, prayer is more important. We need prayer. I've got a few slides that I'd like to show you. They go right along with this need for prayer. This is the Bronx Project, Commonwealth Community Baptist Church in the Bronx, New York. And listed on the side are some things that God did for us in the midst of that project. Safety and contentment as we lived in the city. I was brought up in the country, not in New York City. There were those who feared for us as we went there. God kept us safe through the project. Wisdom as we rebuilt within the local codes. We were able to tear down half of the building and still rebuild with the same footprint. If we'd taken the whole building down, which would have been far easier, we would have had to shrink the building 8 feet off each property line. We would have lost the apartment that they have in the back. All these things are things that were prayed for, that God granted. Unique witnessing opportunities. I've never in my life been involved in an evangelistic barbecue. And we were involved in 3 or 4 of them while we were there in the Bronx. It was the only way that you could get people out of the apartment house complex, out on the street where you could talk with them. You know, give them a free hamburger, hot dog, and a drink, and a track, and share Christ with them. Unique opportunities that God gave us as a result of prayer. Grace Baptist Church in Guilderland, New York. Listed there, I have Jerome's pumping. This man pumped the concrete for us. He pulled in this big green pump truck. And on the side of this pump truck was a picture of the Incredible Hulk. And in one hand, the Hulk was holding an American flag. And in the other hand, he was holding a cross. So I went up to Mr. Jerome and I had to ask. Because it was an open door. And I asked him, I said, tell me about your picture on the side of your truck. And so he started telling me about 9/11, when the Twin Towers fell, and how in the midst of that rubble, there was an I-beam that stuck out in the shape of a cross. Now, I must admit, we're out of touch, because we don't have a television, we don't see the news. I didn't know about that. But he told me all about that, and I said to him, you understand why I was asking about that. I said, you understand what the cross means to us, don't you? And he said, no. And opened the door that I could share the gospel with him. And share him what the cross means to us. The unique opportunities that God gives us. The weather. we're all tired of the snow by now. In fact, you had a slide up there that said about your church picnic on May 31st, and I wondered if the snow would be gone by then. Make for a nice picnic. But in the winter of 2012, I don't know if you can remember that year, how mild the winter was when we were working in Gilderland, New York. And we were able to work right straight through the winter without having to deal with sub-zero weather, without having to deal with a lot of snow. And we were able to build that parsonage in good timing because of the weather, and there were many who were praying for us in the midst of that. There's a picture of the pump truck. I didn't get a good picture of the mural. The nursing home ministry in Columbus, Wisconsin, and Geneseo, New York. I shared during Sunday school about Columbus, Wisconsin, and how we got involved in the Larson Home Ministry. And then as a family, we also went to the Columbus Nursing Home on Monday morning and just had a time of singing God's Word, His hymns, reading God's Word, praying with the people there. And just involved in the nursing home there. And then Valerie and Josiah are able to go with the pastor in Geneseo to Morgan Estates in Livingston County Nursing Home every other week to minister to the needs of the people there. As God prays, or people pray that God would give direction. Valerie's had the opportunity to have a couple of Bible studies with one of the ladies in the nursing home, and just the need for prayer as we continue to seek to serve Him in these different areas. Mountain Shadows Baptist Church. Interesting opportunity. I had the privilege of leading that project. Had everything lined up. Had a contractor in mind for doing the stucco. When probably, I'd say, a month before we would be ready for him, a fellow showed up on site and he says, I'm so-and-so and I worked for Bob. He says, I got bad news. We found Bob lying on his floor in his house. He's passed away. He said, I'd like an opportunity to still do the job. And so I obviously offered condolences and sorry to hear about it, and yes, go ahead and give me a new quote on doing the job. In the meantime, in fact, before that, probably 2 months before that, a fellow stopped by the site, handed me a business card to do the stucco work. And I said, well, we already have somebody in mind. I called him to come and give us a quote, and he did. And his quote came in a couple $1,000s cheaper than the original. and using a superior material. He was going to do it with acrylic stucco instead of the normal, the standard stucco. That was Joaquin. The witnessing opportunities we had with Joaquin and his crew. One lunchtime, we had a stack of bridge tracks in our trailer. They're written in Spanish, and his crew was all Spanish. He would talk with them in Spanish. He'd talk with me in English. And I had the opportunity to talk with him beforehand and invite him and his family to come to church. And he started telling me about his kids, his young kids, and he referred to them as bad kids. And I said, well, Joaquin, I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, our Joy Club is not in Spanish. Oh, they know English. I said, well, then there you go. I said, bring him to Joy Club, and told him when it was. And I wish I could say that he brought his kids to Joy Club. I had not seen it and haven't heard that he did. But had the opportunity, and one lunchtime, Valerie and I walked out with the bridge tracks and handed one to each one of the guys. And you know the amazing look on their face to see that we handed them something in their own language. You know, we can say what we want about you need to learn English or whatever, but to try and reach them with the gospel, I can't stand here and say they accepted the Lord. But I can say we had the opportunity, God-given, because people were praying. Finances for the project. The project was built debt-free. Praise the Lord for how He provided and how people prayed that that would be accomplished. God's wisdom as we choose subcontractors. I just spoke about Joaquin. Well, here's Nevin with Desert Pumping, who pumped the concrete for us there in Colorado. I have two names of pumping contractors. Make a long story short, I thought I was calling the one that I'd talked to before, but I called Nevin instead. Nevin is a believer. He came and pumped for us twice. The second time he did it for free. He had a power trowel that he offered for us to use to finish the concrete after we troweled. He stayed and helped us finish the concrete. I mean, praise the Lord for how He provides and how He directs. And it's because of people praying. Cornerstone Baptist Church. Work teams that have come from other churches. And I spoke about that this morning and just the opportunities for people to come and to help, and what an encouragement that is to us as builders and to the church. I've heard over and over again, we can't believe how many people are coming to help us build our building. Right now they're praying for this variance, the second thing on the list. Here's an item as you think of us and working in Geneseo that you could pray. They're trying to get a variance to put an addition on their fellowship hall without having to put in a sprinkler system. If they don't get the variance, they won't put on the addition, because the sprinkler system is going to cost twice as much as the addition, because there's no sprinkler system in the rest of the building. So it's all got to come in from the street, very expensive. So they're praying that they would get this. They had a preliminary meeting. It looks good. But I said, don't stop praying, because God will move. Salvation of Ron, our inspector. He's been very helpful, very congenial, very willing to work with us, but he needs the Lord. Another item for prayer. Praise the Lord for the 20 years that God has given us to serve Him. By His grace, we will keep going and plan to, have no plans of stopping. And so I ask you to take one of our prayer cards, to continue to pray for us as we continue to serve Him. I trust that you'll consider the challenge to pray, because that's how God works in and through our lives. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We do praise You for this day. We thank You that we can come to you at any time, at any place, and ask for your will to be accomplished. Many times I come to you with things that I want, and yet you know what I need, and you know your will. And so I thank you, Lord, that you respond according to your will and according to your time. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for who you are and just for the privilege that we have to serve you, whether it be on the mission field, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in the home or in the church, that, Lord, to worship, and we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.